Okay, so welcome back to Shmuel Aleph, and a very dramatic story that we started last week, Perek Tesvav of Shmuel Aleph. We're talking about the story of Shaul's battle with Amalek. So last week we only did five psukim because it was so much jam-packed. So those five psukim essentially was Shmuel's commandment to Shaul to wage war with Amalek, which he does. And as we know, Shaul spares Shaul and the people. We'll talk about that. But Shaul spares the he spares the sheep. He spares he spares Agag, which we're about to see. So let's pick up with Pasuk Vav. Now Pasuk Vav is an interesting pasuk, and I'm kind of glad we're doing it first. It's a little bit of a tangent, but it's very interesting, and we learned some important lessons from it. So as Shaul's about to wipe out Amalek, so he issues a warning shot to one of Amalek's neighbors. Who is that? The Keni. Vayomer Shaul el HaKeni. So Shaul says to the Keni. Now, who is the Keni? So the Mefarshim say, Rashi says, and others say that the Keni were the descendants of Yisro. They were descendants of Yisro, and we'll see more about that in a minute, why that's important. But they were the descendants of Yisro, and they were neighbors of Amalek. They settled, Rashi says, to the south of Amalek, and they lived right near them. So Shaul issues this warning shot to the Keni, and he tells them, Lechu suru ridu mitoch Amaleki. You got to get out of here. Right, you have to leave the Amaleki. You have to go out. You have to leave them. Penosivcha imo, right? Lest you'll be killed with them. As we come, we're going to wipe out the Keni, and Rachmana Litzlan. We don't want to do anything to you. So you got to get out. Ve'ata asisa. Now why did they warn? Why did they warn them? So says the Navi. V'ata asisa chesed im kol b'nei Yisrael v'alosa mimitzrayim. Because you did a chesed with all of b'nei Yisrael as they came out of Mitzrayim. Okay, that's the reason why we're warning you. We don't want you to get hurt because you did this chesed with all of b'nei Yisrael as we came out of Mitzrayim. V'yosar keni mitoch hamolek. The keni heed the warning and they leave to protect themselves. Now, what's fascinating here is, what was this chesed? What was this chesed that they did with Kol B'nai Yisrael? So the machlok is here in the Mefarshim, what exactly the chesed was. So, one interpretation was that the chesed was the advice that Yisro gave Moshe. The advice that Yisro gave Moshe. This is the approach of the Radak.
Yisro was a Keni.
The Keni descended from Yisro. The Keni descended from Yisro, right? So the Radak says that that Yisro gave we know the famous advice that he gave to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Why are you standing and you're judging B'nai Yisrael from morning till evening, right? You should get all these different judges, the different levels of judges. That was Yisro's advice. So says the Radak, that's the chesed that we're talking about, that he did the chesed with all of Klal Yisrael. Now, why is it a chesed with all of Klal Yisrael? Why is it a chesed with all of Klal Yisrael? So, the Mitzudas David says very simply, shorter lines. Shorter lines, right? If it was just Moshe Rabbeinu, so everybody's waiting online all day to talk to Moshe Rabbeinu, but now you have a whole system of judges, you don't all have to wait for Moshe Rabbeinu, so the lines are much shorter. So this was not only a chesed for Moshe to save him some of the effort of dealing with all of Klal Yisrael, but it was a chesed to the whole B'nai Yisrael. It was a really chesed to the whole B'nai Yisrael. That's the approach of the Mitzudas David. The Radak says that no, really the chesed. He agrees that it was the advice, but he says really that's really just a chesed for Moshe. So why is it called? Why does the pasuk refer to it as a chesed im kol B'nai Yisrael? Because when you do a chesed for a gadol b'Yisrael, when you do a chesed for a great Jewish leader, it's as if you did a chesed for all of Klal Yisrael. Wow! Right? You do a chesed for a gadol b'Yisrael, it's as if you did a chesed for all of Klal Yisrael. He says that's what you see in the pasuk. Yisrael did a chesed with Moshe, and that's considered to be a chesed in Kol B'nai Yisrael. Right? Imagine, you know, the people that that try to do chasadim for the Gedolei Yisrael, they drive them places. You know, I heard that Reb Chaim Kanievsky, you know, Shlita. So for many years he did not have air conditioning in his apartment. He lives in Bnei Brak. Right? Bnei Brak gets extraordinarily hot in the summer. He didn't have air conditioning. You know, air conditioning was for a long time was a luxury in Eretz Yisrael. Now it's, I think, pretty standard, but he didn't have air conditioning. So someone offered to get it for him. So originally he didn't want it. Why? Because he says, what happens if one day it breaks? You know, so I won't be able to learn. I'm going to get so used to it, I'm going to get dependent on it. I don't want to be dependent on anything. I won't be able to learn. Now I'm used to the heat, so I don't have a problem. So, years later, they finally convinced him to get it. And then apparently he said, oh, wow, this is really nice. You know, I should have gotten this a long time ago. I would have been much more comfortable. But you see, people do chasadim for Gedolei Yisrael. So says the Radak, that when you do a chesed for Gedolei Yisrael, it's considered like you're doing a chesed with all of Bnei Yisrael. Unbelievable. The Rashi, interestingly, has a little bit of, he has a different approach as to what the chesed was. He doesn't learn like the Radak and the Mitzudas David that the chesed here was the advice that Yisrael gave Moshe. But he says, no. He says the chesed was the Seuda of Yisrael. If you remember, when Yisrael came to Moshe Rabbeinu, so the Pasuk says that Moshe, Aaron, and the Zakenim all sat down and they ate at the Seuda with Yisrael. That was considered a chesed for all of Bnei Yisrael. The fact that Moshe, Aaron, and the Zakenim benefited from this Seuda, so that's considered a chesed for all of Bnei Yisrael. Which is an amazing thing. You know, you think about it. It's one act of chesed. He ate with them. That was really it. That was it. I mean, even in this case, the advice. You know, he gave one piece of advice. But for generations, it's considered a chesed number one, even though according to most of the Mefarshim, he only did this chesed with a limited number of people. Maybe just with Moshe, maybe Moshe, Aaron, and the Zakenim. But it's considered to be a chesed for all of Klal Yisrael, and it's considered to be a chesed for all the generations. Think about what we're talking about here. We're talking about the Keni, who were not even around then. They just descended from Yisrael. We're talking about Bnei Yisrael, who they weren't around either at that time when Yisrael came to Moshe Rabbeinu. So none of these people were around, and still there's a debt of gratitude. There's a debt of Hakaras HaTov that we as Bnei Yisrael owe the Keni Hakaras HaTov because of what Yisrael did all those years ago. So you see, number one, the power of an act of Chesed, that how far that can go, but you also see the power of the debt of Hakaras HaTov, that when we owe someone Hakaras HaTov, it's not just I owe you Hakaras HaTov, my descendants and owe your descendants Hakaras HaTov. That's how great this is. Unbelievable. Unbelievable lesson, I think, in Chesed and Hakaras HaTov. Really, really unbelievable. Now, the Malbim, of course, points out in his profound way that if you think about the Keni and Amalek, even though the Keni was a neighbor of Amalek right now, the Keni really represented the polar opposite of Amalek. Because here the Keni is being saved because of the Chesed that the Keni did so many years ago. Amalek, what Amalek did is the opposite of Chesed. Amalek took Bnei Yisrael when they were vulnerable and they attacked them. Kol anecha shalim acharecha. Not only did they attack them, but they attacked them from behind where the weak people were. So Amalek did the opposite of Chesed. Chesed means you help people out, even people that are strong, you know, even people that have, you help them no matter what, it doesn't matter. Here Amalek, not only did Amalek not help, but Amalek hurt. And Amalek hurt specifically the weak people. So says the Malbim that this is highlighting the discrepancy and the difference between the Keni and Amalek. That you see how terrible that is. It is that which Amalek did, but you see how unbelievable it is that which the Keni did so many years ago. Okay.
The Keni were just the neighbors of the Amalek.
They lived right near Amalek. Some of the Mefarshim describe exactly where they lived. If you look in the Radak says, if you look back when Bnei Yisrael settled Eretz Yisrael, so it says that they settled in the land of Yehuda, which is not where Amalek was. Amalek was, I think, more to the west. but nevertheless, he says they were kind of like Bedouins. You know, they used to move around, so they moved around and they ended up living near Amalek. Rashi says they settled just to the south of Amalek, so that's where they were.
I reading when I was doing, you know, triage and casualties and stuff like that, that I think this pasuk was quoted, you know, somewhere along the lines of like, you know, tell the civilians to get out of there.
Uh-huh.
You know, like armies.
Right. Could be.
But the problem here was that they were going to kill everybody from the Amalek.
Correct. So these people were not Amalekim. The Canaanites were not Amalekim. So, but they were afraid. Bnei Yisrael was afraid that they were going to get hit. You know, in the fray. It's hard to distinguish between friend and foe. You know, they're living right next to Amalek. They might get killed. So that we want to try to get them out of there. The Mitzudas Tava makes that point. He says that it's very hard. You're in the middle of battle. In the heat of the battle, it's very hard to distinguish. You know, where's the border of Amalek? You know, you're from Amalek, you're from the Canaan, where are you? Know, who are you? Yeah, it's hard to ask questions like that. Okay. Pasuk Zayim. So now we get back to Amalek here. Vayach Shaul es Amalek. So Shaul beats Amalek, the Canaan leave. Shaul beats Amalek. Mechavilah bo'acha Shur. All the way from Chavilah up to the approach to Shur. Asher al Pnei Mitzrayim, which is right near Mitzrayim. Again, the Radak says that this is where they settled, this is where they lived. Pasuk Ches, Vayispos es Agag Melech Amalek Chai, V'es Kol Ha'om Hecherim Lefi Charef. So here we have a very significant pasuk, and this is the beginning of the end of Shaul Amalek. So Shaul grabs Agag, the king of Amalek Chai, alive. He's a prisoner of war. The rest of the nation, the rest of the Amalekim, he killed. He wiped them out. But Agag, he's spared, and he takes him as a prisoner. Hecherim is from the language of cherem. Just like cherem is like off limits. It's like it's out of the question. So to hear, it's, you know, that everyone was kind of, you know, wiped off the map. They were just destroyed. He destroyed the rest of the nation. I think it's a stronger language. I think it's a stronger language, Hecherim. It's more of like a destruction. Pasuk Ches. Vayachmol Shaul v'ha'am al Agag v'al meitav hatzon v'habakar. So Shaul and the nation have mercy. Vayachmol. Vayachmol means that he has mercy. So Shaul and the nation have mercy. And we'll see exactly why the Navi chooses that term to describe mercy. And they have mercy on Agag, they have mercy on the Meitav Atzon, which is the good sheep, and Habakar, which is the cattle, the Hamishnim, the Alakarim. These are all different types of animals. Rashi says Mishnim are the healthy ones. You know, that maybe they were fattened up. The Radak quotes Targum Yonason that the Mishnim were the ones that were naturally fat, and the karim are the ones that were artificially fattened. You know, people like to fatten up animals so that you can have more meat. Whatever it is, these were the good animals. V'al kol atov, all the good stuff, all the good animals. The people had mercy, they spared them. V'lo avu acharimam, they did not want to destroy them. V'chol hamelacha nemivza v'nameis osa hecherimu. But everything else, all the other flocks, all the other things that were not that good, right? That were not this, you know, the best of the animals, the best of the sheep and the cattle. They destroyed. Everything else was destroyed, but they spared Agag and the Meitav. Okay, now the Malbim says that, if you remember, we discussed last week that we know that Shaul is going to be held accountable for this, and he won't be forgiven. Shaul is going to, he's going to lose his melucha over this. And eventually he's going to lose his life. David HaMelech, we know, we discussed last week, sins. He sins with Bathsheba, which, you know, we'll learn about when we get there. And he does tshuva, he's forgiven. So how come Shaul wasn't forgiven? Shaul did tshuva, we're going to learn probably next week, or the week after, I should say. But Shaul, he did tshuva, he admitted to his sin eventually. Not right away, but he admitted to his sin eventually. He did tshuva. So how come his tshuva wasn't accepted? So the Malbim says that in this parak we see three reasons why Shaul's tshuva was not accepted. Reason number one, we discussed last week in the name of the Sefer Ikarim. Just to review, the Sefer Ikarim said that the reason why Shaul's tshuva was not accepted is because Shaul sinned within the malucha, within the kingship. So if you remember last week, we discussed that the mitzvah, we have three mitzvahs when we come into Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvah number one, to appoint a king. Mitzvah number two, to wipe out Amalek. And mitzvah number three, to build the Beis HaMikdash. So this mitzvah of wiping out Amalek was not a personal matter for Shaul. This was a communal, a national matter. This was something that related to his malucha. David's sin, David HaMelech's sin, that was personal. Right? He had a taiva. It was a personal desire, personal lust. That was his sin. Okay, so for that you could do tshuva. But Shaul HaMelech, he sinned in the context of the malucha. He sinned in the context of the kingdom. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't forgive so quickly. That was reason number one that we learned last week. Says the Malbim that we see here in this pasuk, reason number two, why Shaul was not forgiven. And he starts by focusing on the word vayachmol. Vayachmol, it's an interesting word. How would you say that he had mercy? If you wanted to say that Shaul had mercy, how would you say? So I would have said, vayirachem. Right? We know that rachamim means mercy. So I would have chosen the word vayirachem. It's a more commonly used word for mercy. And the Malbim says we actually have three words that imply some sort of mercy. Rachamim. Then we have chemla vayachmol, like we see in this pasuk. And then also chus. Right? Chus v'rachem aleinu, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So chus is also a language of having mercy. So what's the difference? So says the Malbim that rachamim is when one individual, a person, has mercy on another person. That's rachamim. Chus and chemla, which are the other two expressions of mercy, they don't have to be on a person, they could be on anything. They could be on property, they could be on possessions. So for example, chus is something that it's your own property. Right? A person is chus, the Gemara says a person is chus al mamono. Right? Or it talks about Beis Din was chus al mamonom shal Yisrael. When it's your own possessions, your own property, so then use the language of chus. Chemla is on something that's not yours, and this is important, says the Malbim, but you decide intellectually, it would be a shame for this to be destroyed. Vayachmol means that you're coming to intellectual decision. You're not having mercy on an individual person. You're not even having mercy because it's your own property. You're coming to an intellectual decision that this is something worthwhile, and it would be a shame for this to be destroyed. Hashem did not command Shaul not to feel mercy, not to feel rachamim. In fact, says the Malbim, it's very likely that when Shaul was killing the Amalekim, remember, Shaul was a good person. Shaul was a tzaddik. So it's very likely that when Shaul was killing the Amalekim, he felt rachamim. Imagine, says the Malbim, Shaul HaMelech killing, you can almost not say it, but killing a baby. Shaul HaMelech had to kill babies, he had to kill children, Amaleki children, right? So, presumably, says the Malbim, he had rachamim in his heart for those children. But he had to kill them anyway.
Why spare the king
of all people? One second. So Hashem did not command him, don't feel the rachamim, because that's a natural feeling. What did Hashem command him? Hashem commanded him, but you have to do it anyway. Right? You have to do it anyway. Despite that feeling that you might feel a natural mercy, a natural rachamim, you have to do it anyway. What did Shaul feel though? In addition to the natural rachamim that Shaul felt, he also felt vayachmol. That's pasuk tes. What's vayachmol? Vayachmol means that Shaul made a calculation in his head. And he said, Agag, the king, the meitav atzon, the meitav abakar, it makes sense to spare these things. It makes sense to spare them. They're so good. The king is the chief. He's the top, right? Maybe Shaul also, you know, related to him. He felt connected to him because he was the king of Klal Yisrael. Here's the king of Amalek. The Meitav Atzon, the Meitav Abakar, those are good things. You know, it would be a shame to kill those things. It would be a waste to kill those things. So therefore, Vayachmol, he had mercy, he had chemla. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a terrible thing. That's a terrible avera. Because to decide intellectually that I'm not going to kill this king, I'm not going to kill these animals, because it would be a shame to waste them. It would be a shame to waste them. That's a chisaron in emunah. Kadosh Baruch Hu told you to kill them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to kill Agag. He told you to kill all of the animals. You're making a decision that, you know what? It would be a shame to kill these things. It would be a shame to waste them. It would be a shame not to have Agag and the Meitav Atzon in the world. That's not your cheshbon. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon. To have mercy, that's understandable. But to make an intellectual decision, I'm not going to do it because it's immoral. It doesn't fit into my worldview. It would be a shame. That is a lack of emunah. That's a lack of emunah. And says the Malbim, this is the second reason why Shaul's tshuva was not accepted. Because Shaul's tshuva was, because the sin, Shaul's original sin, was not a sin of taiva. It wasn't a sin of lust. It wasn't a sin where a person, you know, has his yetzer hara gets the best of him. We're going to see a little bit later. I can't remember now which of the Mefarshim said this, but one of them said this wasn't a sin where there was some sort of personality deficiency that caused Shaul to do this. And it wasn't a sin because Shaul had some sort of desire or lust to do something. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu can handle. So we do things wrong because of deficiencies, we do things wrong because of lust and desire, we do tshuva, and we can move on. Shaul's sin was a sin of emunah, it was a lack of emunah. He made a cheshbon, he made a calculation. He decided intellectually that Hashem's tzivoy didn't make sense to him. To kill Agag, to kill the Meitav Atzon, to kill everyone, it doesn't make sense. I don't understand it, so I'm not going to do it. That's a lack of emunah. That's a lack of emunah. Now what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response? Pasuk Yud. Vayhi Devar Hashem El Shmuel Leimor. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Shmuel. Shmuel, of course, is the Navi. And Hashem comes to Shmuel and he says, Nichamti ki himlachti as Shaul Lamelech. I regret appointing Shaul as the king over Klal Yisrael. Ki shav me'acharai. Because he has strayed from behind me. I'm leading a path and he's straight. He's going on his own path. V'yes devarai lo hekim. He did not fulfill my words. Vayichar l'shmuel. Vayizak el Hashem kol alayla. So just the end of the pasuk is interesting, and then we'll come back to the beginning. What's vayichar l'shmuel? Shmuel's upset. Who's he upset at? Oh, very good. So the Metzudah HaStavit says he's upset with himself. He's upset with himself. A person, you know, he's the one who appointed Shaul. Now, of course, he did it with the Tzivoy Hashem. But this is like his, you know, he was involved. And now he sees this all unraveling. He's upset with himself. Maybe he could have done more. Right? He's anxious. He's worried about how this is going to turn out. But what does he do? He's upset. What does he do when he's upset? Vayizak el Hashem kol alayla. He turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tefillah the entire night. Says in Mitzvah Stavit, he's davening for Shaul. He's saying Tehillim all night for Shaul. Right? He was so upset. He was upset with himself. But instead of being upset with yourself and going into your room and locking the door, he was upset with himself, but he turned it into something constructive. He took those emotions and he turned it into something positive. Vayizak el Hashem kol alayla. Now, what's this nichamti ki imlachti ashol? Now, obviously, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't regret things, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfection, and it's not like a human being. We make mistakes, we make a decision, and then later we regret the decision. That's because we made a mistake in judgment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make mistakes in judgment. He knows everything. He knows what's going to happen. So what does it mean, nichamti? What does nichamti mean, the regret? So the Malbim points out that everything that happens in the world happens because of Ratzon Hashem. Hashem wills something to happen. Hashem wanted the world to come into creation, it came into creation. Everything that exists happens because He has the Ratzon for it to exist. Nechama, this language of Nechama regarding Hashem, regret, what does that mean? That means that there's no longer the Ratzon Hashem. Hashem doesn't want this anymore. So if the Ratzon Hashem is gone, the Ratzon Hashem is our lifeblood. That's what helps everything exist. So if the Ratzon Hashem is gone, it's like this thing has been nisbatel. It's been totally nullified. It's like it didn't exist. So nichamti kim lachti as Shaul lemelech. Hashem was saying my original ratzon was that Shaul should be the king, but now that's no longer my ratzon. So now, boom, it's like the power goes out. It's almost like it doesn't exist. It's like it never existed. That's how deep this is. Again, from a human perspective, it's regret. But from a Kadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, it's not really regret. Now, again, this is a very strict, this is a very, severe reaction to this. Shaul did something wrong. That's it. Nichamti kim lachti Shaul lemelech. Because again, this was an avera of kfira, of denial of Hashem's existence. This was an avera of a lack of emunah. Much worse than just personal deficiency or some sort of lust and desire. That's not what this was. Pasuk Yud Beis. Now Shmuel has to break the news to Shaul somehow. Vayashkim Shmuel ikra Shaul baboker. So Shmuel gets up very early the next morning after a whole night of davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gets up in the morning to go greet Shaul. Vayugad li Shmuel leimor. So they tell Shmuel, Bo Shaul haKarmela. Shaul came to Carmel. Vihine matziv lo yad. He's establishing for himself a hand. We'll have to see what that means. Vayisov, vayavor, vayirid Gilgal. And then he turned around and he came down to Gilgal. So there's a question in the Rishon, in the Rishonim, in the Mepharshim here. What exactly is going on here? Shaul is in the Carmel. What's clear in the pasuk is that Shaul was in the Carmel and then he came down to Gilgal. That's clear. Now, what he was doing in the Carmel is not so clear. It says, "V'hine matziv lo yad." So Rashi says, or I should say, the Radak first says that he was establishing a place to divide the spoils of war. Because keep in mind, they had a lot of spoils. They spared the Meitav Atzon, the Bakar, etc. They spared all these things. So you got to divide it. He's not going to take all of it. He's going to divide it among the soldiers. So he needs a place where he's going to be able to bring all the spoils and divide it. That's what he was doing in Carmel. After Carmel, he went to Gilgal to bring Korbanos. Why? Because even though the Mishkan at this time was in Nov, and not in Gilgal anymore, Gilgal was the place where the Mishkan first was when Yehoshua first came into Eretz Yisrael. They established the Mishkan in Gilgal. But nevertheless, because since that was the first location where the Mishkan was, so Gilgal was always a Makom Tefillah. Gilgal was always a place of Tefillah, of Korbanos, you know, at a time of Heter Bamos. So that's a Pashup Shat, says the Radak. Now Rashi says, and the Radak says this is a medrash, that Shaul was building a mizbeach. He was building a mizbeach in Carmel. He says, Rashi says later that mizbeach was destroyed, and Eliyahu HaNavi, you know, Eliyahu HaNavi ends up in Har Carmel, so Eliyahu HaNavi is going to eventually rebuild that mizbeach. And the final pshat is the Malbim, who says he was building a monument. It wasn't a place to divide the spoils like the Radak. It wasn't a mizbeach like Rashi. Says the Malbim, he was building a monument for the victory, right? For the victory, for this battle. Just like you have today, you have monuments of in locations where battles took place. You have a monument. So that's what he was establishing. And it had a yad, it had a hand. There was a picture of a hand or an image of the hand on that monument. Why? To symbol the strength, the strong victory, right? The hand symbolizes strength. So to symbol the strong victory of Amalek. And again, after that, he went to Gilgal. Okay, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayavo Shmuel el Shaul. So Shmuel comes to Shaul. Vayomer lo Shaul and Shaul. So Shaul sees Shmuel, and he's all excited. Oh, Baruch atol Hashem. Hakimosi es devar Hashem. Wow. So what does he say? You should be blessed. You should be blessed to Hashem. Okay? Mitzudas David says he's saying Hashem should bless you. Why? Hakimosi es devar Hashem. Because I fulfilled the word of Hashem. Wow. Right? That shows, as soon as he sees Shmuel, he says, I fulfilled the word of Hashem. Says the Mitzudas David, and it's yours chus. Because you're the one who sent me on this mission. And I did the mission. I did it successfully. I fulfilled the word of Hashem. Baruch atol Hashem. So you should get blessed. You should be blessed because of this. Vayomer Shmuel. So Shmuel says, one second, my dear Shaul. Umekol atzon hazeh be'oznai. Well, what's the sound of all the sheep that I hear in the background? What's all the what's the sheep that I hear? Vekol habakar asher anochi shomea. You know, I hear all these sounds in the background. sheep and bakar, obviously Shmuel knew, right? He was playing dumb a little bit. He wanted Shaul to come clean, so to speak, to admit this. You fulfilled the word of Hashem, really? Akimosi is Devar Hashem. So what are all these animals? Pasuk Tes Vav, Vayomer Shaul, and Shaul says, Me'amaleki Hevi They brought them. Who's they? Bnei Yisrael. He's deflecting. He's deflecting the blame. They brought them from the Amaleki. Asher chamal ha'am al meitav hatzon ve'habakar. The nation had chemla. The nation had mercy on the sheep, on the cattle. Why? Leman zivoach la'Hashem elokecha. To bring to Hashem your God. It's an interesting use of elokecha here. I mean, Shaul, it's Elokeinu, right? It's Shaul's God, just like it's Shmuel's God. But the Mefarshim say it's a matter of respect to show that that Shmuel was a little closer to Hashem than Shaul was. So he says Elokecha. Ve'es hayos erecharamnu. Shaul says everything else we destroyed. Everything else we destroyed. But we just kept the Meitav Atzon V'Abakar. Not we, sorry. The nation. Ha'am. He deflects the blame onto the people. They kept the Meitav Atzon V'Abakar. Why? But it was for a good reason. L'man Zavolach L'Hashem Elokecha. To bring karbanos. So he doesn't talk about the king yet. He doesn't mention Agag yet. So all the Mefarshim here are pretty much, you know, in unison. The Radak, the Mitzvot Tov, the Malbim, you know, all say that Shaul is saying two things. He's saying, number one, this wasn't my fault, it was the people. Right? It wasn't me, it was the people. You know, they're the ones who spared them, not me. So I'm not at fault. I'm not at fault. It's really them, number one. And number two, you know, even the fact that they spared the animals is not such a terrible thing. Why? Because they did it for a good reason. Leman zavach l'Hashem elokecha. They wanted to bring karbanos to Hashem. So, say the Mefarshim, I couldn't stop them. You know, they come to me, they're coming with a frumkite. You know, we want to, these are great animals. Why don't we save some of these animals and bring them as karbanos to Hashem? So says Shaul, what was I going to say to that? I was going to say no. Such a great idea. Bring beautiful karbanos to Hashem. It's a great idea. The Malbim points out that here, you know, Shaul himself uses the word chamal. Asher chamal ha'am. And again, according to the Malbim, chamal means this was an intellectual disagreement. Right? So he's emphasizing this fact that they saved them because it didn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to destroy these animals. Meitav atzon v'abakar. It makes more sense to bring them as karbanos, not to destroy them. It's a waste. What a shame. Right? That was the cheshbon of Shaul and the cheshbon of the people. So this is the third reason, says the Malbim, that Shaul's tshuva was not accepted. Because tshuva requires charata, regret, and vidui. You have to confess your sins. Shaul did neither of those things, because he doesn't even recognize that he sinned. He doesn't even see that he sinned. He thinks everything he did was fine. That was his mistake. So number one, his sin was related to the melucha. Number two, his sin was a sin of kfira and a lack of emuna, not just a personal deficiency and not just lust and desire. And number three, he lacked charata. He didn't recognize that he sinned. He didn't have regret. And he did not do vidui. Pasuk Tes Zayin, Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul Heref V'agida lecha Eis asher diber Hashem Eli halayla. So Heref means, according to some, means wait, but according to others, Heref means please stop talking. Please stop talking, Shaul. And the way the Malbim says it is that the denial of a sin is itself a sin. Shaul denying sin. He's deflecting the blame. He's saying it was all the people. And it wasn't just the people, but they had good intentions. So we did nothing wrong. Shmuel says, please be quiet. Please be quiet. You're digging your hole deeper. What you're saying now is even more of a sin. Not to deny you the wrongdoing. Not to recognize that you sinned. You got to stop talking. And Shmuel says, listen, wait. V'yagid lecha, I'll tell you what Hashem tells me halayla. What Hashem told me, right? What Hashem told me that night, last night. V'yomer lo daber. So Shmuel says, so Shaul says, okay, you know, let me hear. Vayomer pasuk yedzayin. Vayomer Shmuel halo im katon ata beinecha rosh shivtei Yisrael ata. Shmuel says, you have to recognize who you are. You think you're a katon? You think you're a nobody? Now why is he making out to be a nobody? Because the Radak says, you're making yourself out to be small, because what are you saying? I couldn't stop them. I couldn't stop the people. What do you mean you can't stop the people?
You're the king.
Don't make yourself out to be small. Don't minimize who you are and what your authority is. You're the king. Im katon ata beinecha, rosh shivtei Yisrael ata. You're the king. You're in charge. And not only that, vayimshachacha Hashem lemelech. Who anointed you? Hashem anointed you. You can't say you're afraid. You know, sometimes people are, you know, if you were anointed by the people, so then you could say, I'm afraid of the people. They anointed me. What are they going to say? Maybe they'll fire me from being the king. Says Shmuel, what do you mean fire you? Who are you afraid of? They didn't appoint you as king. You're divinely appointed. Hashem appointed you as king. Who are you afraid of? Don't make yourself out to be small. Don't be afraid of the people. So important also, the Metzudas David says that if you had the power, I'm sorry, the Radak says this here. I think the Metzudas David says this also elsewhere. But they all say, if you have the ability to stop it and you didn't, then it's your fault. You're the Rosh Shivtei Yisrael. You're in charge. You're the chief. You're the king. You're the Rosh Shivtei Yisrael. If you had the ability to stop it, which he did, if Shaul had come to the people and he said, stop what you're doing. We need to kill Agag. We need to kill the Meitav Atzon. That's what Hashem wants. That's what Hashem commanded. No questions asked. Everybody, you know, stop with your calculations. Stop with your cheshbonos. Everybody would have listened to him. He's the king. He had the authority to do it, but he didn't do it. Because he himself wasn't sure. He himself was making cheshbonos. You didn't do that? It's your achrayus. It's your responsibility. It's on you. Pasuk Yudches, Vayishlochacha Hashem bedarech. Hashem sent you on the path. Vayomer, Leich v'hacharamto es hachatoim es Amalek. And he told you, destroy the sinners. Destroy Amalek. V'nilchamto bo ad kalosa mosam, and fight with them. Wage war with them until they're gone, until you destroy them. Says the Malbim, Vayishlochacha Hashem. Stop focusing on all these other things. What are you saying? We were going to bring karbonos. Focus on Vayishlochacha. Focus on the one who sent you. Right? Don't give excuses. Focus on the sender. What did Hashem want? He was the one who sent you. He's the boss. What did he want from you? He wanted you to destroy everyone. Says the Malbim, inaction can be significant for three reasons. Either it's significant in its own right, or it's significant because of the one who commanded it, the commanding officer, or it's significant because of the actor, the one who's actually doing it. All three came together in this incident. All three came together. This is Milchemes Amalek, which is a mitzvah. It itself is significant. It came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So the commanding officer was significant. And it was being done by Shaul HaMelech. So you have all three factors. This was a major operation. This was a major event. And you failed. And this is a critical component of your Malucha. As we learned, appoint a king, destroy Amalek, and build the base Hamikdash. This is step two. You botched it. Okay, Pasuk Yates. We're just finishing up. Sorry. V'lama lo shamata b'kol Hashem. V'ata tel ha'shola, v'ata ha'sara b'nei Hashem. So Shmuel says, why didn't you listen to Hashem? Why didn't you listen to him? Vatat el ha-sholal, you strayed towards the spoils. Vatas harab b'nei Hashem, and you did that which is evil in the eyes of Hashem. So again, says the Mitzvah Tavit, it's as if you yourself took the spoils, even though maybe the people did it, right? But since you didn't protest, you could have protested, you could have stopped them, and you didn't. It's as if you took it. Says the Malbim, your sin is threefold, and with this we'll conclude for the night, and we'll see what Shaul's response is next time. Number one, lo shamata b'kol Hashem. So says the Malbim, when a human being issues a command, we generally can figure out what the purpose of that command is. So let's say I can fulfill the purpose another way. So as long as I get the job done, is it so important that I did it in the exact same way that I was told to do it? Not so important. My boss tells me to do a job. I know what he wants to get done. Now he tells me how he wants it done. I do it a little bit of a different way, but I get the job done. Is he going to care? Depending on the boss and depending on the situation, he might. But chances are, if I get the job done, even if I do it in a little bit of a different way, that's okay. Because
the job is to kill everybody. He didn't do the job.
Oh, very good, very good. So he says like this. Shaul thought that the purpose of Hashem's commandment here was to take revenge on Amalek, and destroy the nation. That's what Shaul heard when Hashem commanded him. He thought that was the purpose of this. So he says, if I destroy everybody, except for the king, right, and I destroy almost everything, except for the best animals, which we're going to bring karbanos from, I accomplished the purpose. But says the Malbim, when it comes to the commands of Hashem, we can't pretend to know the purposes. We don't know exactly what Hashem intended. We don't know exactly what the tachlis is, exactly what Hashem wants. And therefore, we have to fulfill every detail of the command, not like a human being. We have to fulfill every iota of the way Hashem wants it done, because we don't know exactly why Hashem is saying this, why Hashem wants something. So that's number one, lo shamata. You didn't listen to the command. You tried to make your own cheshbonos as to what the purpose of Hashem's command was. Number two, vatat el ha-shalal. Part of this, you can't deny, was your lust for the spoils. Look at all these great animals. Look at all this. How could I just walk away from all this? So number two is vatat el ha-shalal. That was part of the sin as well. And then number three, vatas hara. Shaul could say, I did 99% of Hashem's command. Hashem said, destroy the whole Amalek. I did 99%. I kept one person alive and just some of the best animals which we're going to kill. 99%. Isn't that good? Says the Malbim, no. 99% of what Hashem commands is hara b'nei Hashem. That's bad. That's evil. That's terrible. We have a mitzvah in the Torah, bal tigra. You're not allowed to do less. Imagine I take a beged of four corners and I attach three tzitzis to it. 75%. That's pretty good, right? Person gets 75 on a test. It's better than zero, right? But here, no, you did three tzitzis? No, it's usser. It's terrible. You're not allowed to wear a beged like that. A person puts on tefillin, only has three parshios instead of four. You violate a losase. Bal tigra, what's the big deal? I always have, people ask me this question. I teach Hilchos Tefillah in school, in SK, and the girls always ask me the question, if I daven a little bit after Sof Sman Tefillah, right? You can only daven Shachris until Chatzos, Ibidiyevin. Let's say I daven 10 minutes after Chatzos. What's the big deal? Hashem really cares. At least I davened. Shaul could say the same thing here. I killed most of them. No. Batas hara b'nei Hashem. We don't understand exactly why Hashem commands everything. And therefore, we have to follow every detail. If we understood why Hashem commanded something, okay, maybe we can achieve that purpose without getting into every detail. But we can't. We have to follow every detail and do exactly as Hashem wants. And if we don't, if we take away Bal Tigra, or if we add Bal Tosif, we mess up the mitzvah. Vatas hara b'nei Hashem. So Shmuel is giving Shaul Musar here for what he did, And Amir Tzashim, next time we'll learn what Shaul's response is, and unfortunately, what we already know, what the results of this terrible episode are. Okay, thank you for joining. Unfortunately, next week there won't